In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is
in our
shadow.
Well, we've come to a holiday weekend, a longer weekend, and many people out of town relaxing, and so I was thinking about what I should talk about today, and I figured I'd keep it lighthearted. And so today we're going to talk about sin. Well, anyways, the country celebrates July 4th, the Independence Day, when independence or our dependence on Britain was severed back in 1776. We have a few historians here, so if you want more information than that, please check in with them. But interestingly, you know, when the 13 colonies separated themselves, they listed out the reason, and to summarize, you know, they felt somewhat tyrannized, controlled, and not treated as equals. And that's reflected within the Declaration of Independence, this idea of equality. In the faith, and because I'm not here to preach about history, we have what we would say is spiritual independence. Not that we are called to be independently spiritual in and of ourselves. In other words, to separate from everybody and to have our, you know. But when we're baptized, we actually have the ties that are severed between us and the world. The ties between us and sin are broken. And the ties where we're tied to death is broken. And so we're meant to be live spiritually independent from the devil and sin. And so when you think about how we celebrate Independence Day this week, you know, what are some of the themes? We'll talk about freedom. You know, there'll be acts of patriotism because it's a joy to live in a country with these particular freedoms. We'll celebrate our uniqueness. And all these things the church does spiritually, not because the church is American, but I'm again trying to transition into spiritual themes, but because the church represents the ultimate liberation from tyranny and sin, from death and bondage. And this is what we hear reflected in today's epistle. In today's epistle reading, the Apostle Paul talks about slavery to sin and death, and then what our Lord provides for us, the freedom. And then more than that, the freedom to build towards righteousness. Now, when you look at this equation, we may feel very disconnected from some of the ideas. And so just to paint a little picture, you know, slavery is a common theme in the Old Testament because of the deliverance from bondage of the Israelites. Slavery is something that is total. In other words, when you were a slave in those days, you didn't have any rights. You could not disagree if you ran away. Your master had the right to come and get you and chastise you, to kill you, whatever the master wanted to do. And it was a total slavery. It wasn't like you could be conscientiously object to anything that your master told you. You did what your master said. And the Apostle Paul ties this to the concept of sin, because when we sin, when we engage in acts or thoughts or areas of our life that we know are sin, we essentially are giving ourselves into a type of slavery. And that slavery, and this is where it gets a little twisted in our mind, is that we tend to believe like the serpent. You know, the serpent told Eve in the garden, you know, you will not surely die if you partake of the tree that God has forbidden. You know, the serpent really doesn't say much to Eve. He only undermines one thing. He only undermines this idea that her actions will actually have some sort of consequence. And in undermining that very little thing, Eve goes on her own and partakes. But this is the same thing that ultimately happens to us. We are presented every day with temptations and areas where we're encouraged to sin. Now, there's different ways to sin, of course. Physically, I can go out and I can rob you. I can punch you. I can, go out and fornicate. I can go out and do all sorts of things that are obviously classified, and we know as in general morality and within Christianity as being sinful. But then there's the subtle area of our inclinations. Some of us have a warm relationship with, we could call them the eight deadly vices. Have a warm relation, a tendency towards despair maybe. A tendency towards lust. Maybe a tendency towards not listening to others and simply being selfish, being willful, not caring for anybody else but ourselves. That's a sin. Those things people don't see today on the day-to-day level. Most people won't see those in us. But those tendencies in and of themselves are sinful. And in those sins, every time we partake of them, we go deeper and deeper into slavery. Self-pity is a big one. Self-pity, and one day I'll do a whole series on self-pity, but it is just an absolute poison. Absolutely poisons us. And yet it feels so good and so right. And so the belief we have is that we can partake of whatever sin it is, whether it's external or internal, and that we won't be slaves and we won't die from it. That it won't bear the consequences that the scriptures say it will bear. But Paul says if you yield your members to the sinful things that were always have been unprofitable for you, that you become a slave. But as Christians, we're called to be independent from that. And our slavery, our servitude, is to be rendered to the Lord. And so he tells us not simply not to be slaves to sin and to cut off those sinful passions, desires, inclinations, but to begin to dedicate our members to Christ. In slavery, again, it's not enough to pledge allegiance. You didn't simply pledge allegiance to your master. Your master makes you work. He puts you to work. There's things that you'll be doing when you're a slave of sin, and there are things that you will do when you're a slave of Christ. And Paul talks about this, yielding our members. For some of us, this means becoming willing to allow ourselves to be used, again, physically, by doing good works, by going out, helping people who have needs, but then spiritually, by being willing to have holy feelings, to be sanctified and transformed, to not hold on to old opinions and ideas and ideologies and heartfelt things. We're meant to give our whole life up to Christ. And that means we have to be willing to unclench our life from ourselves, because a slave has no life of their own. So in today's epistle, and that represents a certain freedom from the world. Now, as I said before, if you are someone's slave, you are going to do the work, whether you want to or not. That's what slavery is. In the slavery to sin, a lot of times it's not thought about, but we don't really think that we're doing the work. We don't believe that we're going out and adding to the sinfulness and building on it. But in fact, the only thing that's really hard to do in life is to live a holy life. If you want to do something good, it's hard. Doing evil things is very easy. Thinking in evil ways, being selfish, is very easy. The only time that you'll know how easy those things are compared to a life of holiness is if you actually try to stop one of your bad habits. Try to stop being selfish. Try to stop yourself from having self-pity or your sense of guilt or whatever your favorite passion is that you have, being lustful. You know, try to stop yourself. That's where you receive the slavery. And so many people in our society, they don't feel like slaves. They've never tried to stop. They have no reason to. And when you never try to stop, St. John Chrysostom has a nice way of saying it. He goes, these people are essentially lying in the mud and reveling in garbage, but they feel like they're surrounded by perfume. They feel like everything smells great. But it's only because they haven't awoken and seen. They haven't seen the filth that they lie in. For us, we're the ones that are supposed to see it. We're the ones that are sensitive to it, that are supposed to put it off and put on the new man. We're the ones that are supposed to put on righteousness. So, this is a very basic thing. And the only way to become authentically ourselves, the only way to, you know, again, tying this back to the 4th of July, the only way to have true independence and to, in any sort of way, have our own autonomy, to not be controlled by a foreign power, if you will, is to submit ourselves to Christ, to invite Him in, to make Him the center of our lives. Now, we speak of being Christ's slaves. Paul does. He calls himself a slave of God or a slave of Christ. But this type of slavery is not a subjugation. Our master does not violate our will. Our master does not force us to do anything. Our master is not intent on us simply doing His work. He builds us up. He fills us. He gives us the Spirit. He does everything that is necessary for us to become Christ-like. If we're willing to do that, if we're willing to be attentive to it, our Lord has provided everything. He forgives us our sin, you know, in the slavery that Paul talks about, there's shame. And the shame that you experience from your sins that were unprofitable before, and that you may continue in or may not, that shame sticks around for a long time. There's no shame in Christ. There's no servitude. Everyone, as Jesus said, serves not as a slave, but as a friend. And so it behooves us, if we haven't really made this transition, to begin to transition ourselves as servants of righteousness rather than servants of our own selfish, sinful desires. The last thing I'll say is that there is a lie that we believe, and I started to make the point earlier, but it is the lie that ties to the lie that Eve believed. We don't believe that our sins will bring death. Everyone goes out, and when they do something, I didn't know the consequences. I didn't know it was going to hurt somebody. I didn't know that it was going to affect somebody. I thought I was doing this all by myself. The various things that we say all show how deluded we can be when it comes to our pet passions. We think that our pet passions do not hurt other people and that they don't lead to death. It's a lie. That's exactly where it believes. It leads to death and slavery. So what we have to develop is an allergy to sin. That word allergy means essentially, you know, I met someone recently, and if they had fish oil, their face would blow up, you know. They'd get big, they couldn't breathe, they had to go to the doctors or they'll die. Well, how do you think they avoid fish oil? Well, they spend a lot of time thinking about that, you know. And the people with bee allergies or various allergies think about this stuff before they go out. And they protect themselves and they arm themselves. Because they're aware that when they encounter this one stimulus, that it may be their death. It may be their absolute death, the real death. We have to convince ourselves psychologically. We have to pray that God would show us spiritually how this is the truth for us too in the life of sin and life. Which is that our favorite sin kills us. And it slowly or speedily sometimes kills us. And we don't want to die in our sin. We don't want to walk out of here and die not having repented of our sins. So we have to develop an allergy, a sensitivity to it, so that we can go to the Lord and ask His forgiveness, so that we can turn ourselves into the benevolent master and be healed, so we can turn ourselves into the physician. So as we celebrate today or this weekend, Independence Day, and we think about the joys of living in our beautiful, wonderful country with the fireworks and everything, let's begin to contemplate our own spiritual lives, our own independence. Maybe you are independent. Keep it up. If you have a childlike soul, keep it. If you're like myself, more work needs to be done. And so may God bless you to, God bless us with an allergy to sin. May He bless us to commit our members and our soul more fully to Christ, to tear ourselves away from the slavery to sin and death. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.